Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
State Fair, does get a lot of taxpayer money. And so I thought, well, maybe if that's the case, that maybe we should just kind of keep politics out of it, just, you know, even just for a day, you know. But I don't know anymore, you know, because the left, oh, my God. And I think that Rush Limbaugh put it in very succinctly. I'm having trouble talking today. Maybe I shouldn't be here. And what he said basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but what he said was basically that when the left saw this and they went completely that crack crazy, and their reaction to the whole thing was when Muslims see a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad and they go berserk and they start, you know, overturning cars and burning buildings down. I mean, you would have thought that was the next thing to happen. But you know what? Again, that's what rodeo clowns do. They make fun of the president, hence the term clown. And at least in the case here in the state of Missouri, Governor Jay Nixon appoints people who are going to be on the state fair committee. And the people who are on the state fair committee right now, at least I know a majority of them, are Democrats. So certainly they had some inkling that something like this was going to happen. So, you know, if you're going to go blaming Republicans, if you're going to go blaming conservatives and whoever else that you can find to blame for this, you know, you're not going to get very far because the State Fair Committee is well populated by Democrats. So, you know, and of course, the first thing that everybody did was yell, "Racist! That's racist!" You know, because when the left doesn't have any other argument, that's what they fall back on. Well, but here's the thing. Okay, if you want to say that it's racist, okay, but who exactly are you saying that it's racist against? Is it racist because this clown is wearing a mask who looks like the President of the United States who happens to be black? Or are you saying it's racist because what you're doing by yelling racism is really what you're doing is you're profiling an entire group of people, and that group of people that you're profiling are rural white people from Missouri. And what you're saying by profiling those rural white people from Missouri, try saying rural three times fast. What you're doing is you're saying you're painting all those people with a very broad brush, and you're saying, well, white people from Missouri are all racist because they're all laughing and snickering at this rodeo clown who has a Barack Obama mask on, and they're making fun of the president just because he's black. Well, I'm going to say, you know what? No, they're not making fun of the president. They're making fun of rural white people. You know, it's that same stereotypical redneck, people who live in the country. It's all one big stereotype. So if you're going to talk about stereotypes, I think you have to bring up that stereotype. Because if you don't, you're just not being intellectually honest. So, you know, if you're going to bring up the racism claim and the racism argument, there's another side to that coin. But right now, as it stands, and what's also really interesting about this is that in Sedalia, Missouri, where the state fair is held, I mean, it is right smack dab in the middle of the state. They couldn't do any better. And that portion of Missouri, for the most part, Missouri is a very red state. You have your little blue enclaves, your little blue pockets, and for the most part, those are Kansas City and St. Louis City itself are blue pockets. But you have in outstate Missouri, which is mostly red, which is mostly conservative and Republican, you do have some little blue pockets here and there. And in that part of the state there is pretty heavily Democratic. So, you know, it's kind of ironic that you would have people yelling racism and yelling, how dare you make fun of the president, you know, in a heavily Democratic portion of the state. But as it stands right now, the NAACP is, well, they are demanding an investigation into this rodeo clown, because we cannot have any more rodeo clowns making fun of people. So, yeah, there's that. So we will see what happens if the NAACP manages to take that claim any further, and they do demand an investigation. And by the way, they are demanding an investigation from the Department of Justice into all of this, because, you know, the Department of Justice has nothing else to do but to investigate rodeo clowns. So, yeah. What I was talking about when I first came on air, the 2013 Smart Girl Summit, put on by Smart Girl Politics, it's a great website, you should go to it. That was put on in Indianapolis last weekend. I was a blogger at the Smart Girl Summit, and we had an absolutely awesome time. There was some fantastic speakers. Let's see, to start off with, well, we had, to kick things off, was the Lieutenant Governor of Indiana, Sue Ellsperman. She gave a great speech about how she first entered politics and how she first came into the political arena and became got onto the political stage. And she really was talking about how she would like to see more women enter politics. And that was great. There was also a video from Mike Pence, former Indiana governor. Let's see. The second day actually really was chock full of speakers. We had Jenny Beth Martin, who is the head of the Tea Party Patriots, and she gave a rousing speech. We had James O'Keefe, who is of Acorn Video fame. You guys will all remember James O'Keefe. He and a girl named Hannah Giles, they posed as a pimp and a prostitute and went around to several Acorn offices around the country and went into these offices and told people that they were going to bring in a bunch of underage girls to become hookers, girls from South America and El Salvador. And instead of reporting them to the authorities, these people who were manning the Acorn offices went on to basically to explain to James and Hannah how to break the law and how to get these girls into the country and how to basically set up their business in a way that no one would really know what they were doing. And that was one of the big things that Andrew Breitbart broke a few years back. So he's been very instrumental in a lot of things like that. He talked about basically how he also got his start in college with videos and exposing the left and exposing their lies and how they set things up so that it looks like something that is completely not. Let's see, we had former Miss America 2003, Erica Harold, who is now a congressional candidate in Illinois. She will be running next year for a congressional seat. She is running for the seat that is right now held by Rodney Davis. She gave an absolutely magnificent speech. She talked about being Miss America and what that entails and her responsibilities. And she talked about wanting to be a role model, not just for African-American women, but just for women in general. And she referred to her 4-year-old niece a lot, which was very, I felt that was very sweet. It was very heartwarming. And she explained that when she was considering her run for Congress and I guess her niece, excuse me, was in the room listening to adults speak, excuse me, I had to do a Marco Rubio there. A little girl of 4 years old looked at her Aunt Erica and said, "You have to do this, Aunt Erica. You're the girl who has to do this." And so the gist of Erica's speech was basically, we are all the girl. Every woman in that room, we're the girl. We're the ones who have to stand up. We're the ones who have to speak out. We're the ones who have to speak up. And it was just a really very sweet, very heartwarming speech that she would have referenced her niece in so much of it. Anyway, I've got lots more to talk about here. We're going to talk about the GOP summer meetings. We're going to talk about what's going on in Egypt right now. I want to talk a little bit about Paula Deen, too. So I'm going to take a break here and try to get my voice back and drink a little more water and channel a little more Marco Rubio. And I'll be right back in just a minute. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron on Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thanks for being with me this evening. Be right back.
You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, with her voice back, Becky Noble. Thanks for joining me tonight. Thanks for hanging out and listening to all the stuff that's going on this week. It's been a busy week. We've got a lot to talk about. Before the break, I was just talking a little bit, at least attempting, to talk about the 2013 Smart Girl Summit that was held in Indianapolis last weekend, and it was a great opportunity to meet plenty of other bloggers, writers, just ordinary women, ordinary conservative women who are concerned about the country, concerned about the direction that we're headed. And it was really a good time. We've had today, there was the Day of Rage in Egypt between the Muslim Brotherhood pro-Mohamed Morsi supporters and the anti-Morsi factions. And, you know, this is really getting to be, it's getting to be such a cluster. There's been over 700 people killed this week in the country, over the course of this week, in just in violent clashes all over the country between the pro-Muslim Brotherhood supporters and the anti-Muslim Brotherhood supporters. And I think a lot of people are really worried that this is just going to it's going to just become a civil war between the Egyptian people. And Barack Obama took time out from playing golf and riding his girl bike in Martha's Vineyard, or as Sean Hannity likes to put it, in Martha's Vineyard, took some time out from all of his vacationing to make a short speech the other day. And what he said basically was that the United States is not going to take sides in this conflict. Well, you know, that's funny because the United States has already taken sides in the conflict, because we took sides in the conflict when President Obama decided that Hosni Mubarak needed to go, and so he could install Mohamed Morsi and basically install the Muslim Brotherhood. And since he's done that now, this is what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with all of this violence and chaos right now in Egypt, and it'll be interesting to see what happens if there really is a call for the United States to step in and fix, basically to fix the mess that we initiated. There's a lot of targeting of Christians also too right now in Egypt, a lot of targeting of Coptic Christians, a lot of churches being burned, and it's just kind of a cherry on the cake of the whole thing. I think that it's going to be a while before it's over with. It's not going to end quickly, and it's not going to end pretty either. So we will have to see if whether or not President Obama decides that he is going to display a little bit of leadership. Why would that happen now? He hasn't done it for the past 5 years, so I'm not sure why he would do it now. But it's getting to be a very serious situation over there in Egypt right now, and it may get to a point before it escalates into civil war that we will have to step in and do something. We also had Paula Deen, the lawsuit against her was dropped this week, and which is good on one hand, but on the other hand, you know, this woman's life, you know, an empire that she spent decades building and building up and creating was torn down within the space of about 2 weeks. And I have a list here of all the people who dropped her as soon as this deposition came out that she gave because of a racial discrimination suit that was brought against her and her brother. Her brother runs several restaurants, and this woman brought a racial and sexual discrimination lawsuit against Paula Deen and her brother. And when Paula Deen gave a deposition for this lawsuit, she had admitted to using the N-word once, about 30 or 35 years ago. First of all, if we were all held accountable for something that we said or did 30 or 35 years ago, there would be a whole lot of people with a whole lot more problems than they have right now. I certainly wouldn't want to be accountable for anything that I said or did 30 years ago, and I doubt you would either. But there's a list of people here who immediately after this came to light dropped her. The Food Network, of course, dropped her. Walmart, QVC, Smithfield Foods, Home Depot, and Target, and that's not the whole entire list. There was more. Her publisher, Random House Valentine Books, also dropped her, and they canceled a cookbook that was about to be published, about to be released. So in the span of about 2 weeks, this woman's entire life that she spent decades building, just everybody just dropped her, and her whole career just was in ruin. And so my question now, be it to Lisa Jackson, the woman who brought about this lawsuit, or to any one of these corporations who dropped her, okay, so this whole lawsuit turned out to be frivolous and was dropped. So now are all of you people going to hire her back on now that her life has been destroyed? No, the answer to that is no, probably not. So what does Paula Deen do now? She's a woman who spent decades, most of her adult life, building up her career and building up this empire, only to have it torn down within the span of 2 weeks. And is there anybody that's going to come forward and say, hey, you know what, let's give her a second chance? The answer to that is no, because apparently when you use that kind of language, and I'm not saying that it's right, but when you use that kind of language, be it yesterday or be it 30 years ago, it's almost getting to be like back in the 50s when there was a communist around every corner. Apparently now in 2013, there's a racist around every corner. No matter what you do to rectify the situation, the woman went on TV and went on the internet countless times apologizing for this one incident that happened 30 years ago. But do you think that anyone is going to say, hey, you know what? Let's give her a second chance. Let's give her a chance to show people that she is not the monster that we've portrayed her to be. No. The answer to that is no. No one will give her another chance to do that. And, you know, the only thing that I can say about that is I thought we lived in America. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is, well, I think we all know that it's not the country that it was 5 years ago. And, you know, not to put the blame for every societal ill on President Obama. You can put a lot of blame on him, but I'm not gonna go bananas and go crazy and blame everything on him. But you know, I mean, how do we know that's not you know, it's not a symptom? But speaking of President Obama, we learned the other day from his what do they call this guy, Reggie Love? They call him his body man. What is a body man? I don't know. I don't have a body man. Well, you get into a whole thing of worms there. So is this a guy that helps him work out? Does he, you know, what does he hold the punching bag for him? What does a body man do? Anyway, we found out from Reggie Love, Obama's body man, well, we found out what he was doing during the bin Laden raid. And so I think the question could be asked here, too. Is this where Barack Obama was during the Benghazi raid as well?
I spent the entire day at the White House, and probably, you know, typically, like, the weekends, he's like, he'll work like a half day. And this Sunday, I mean, we were there until almost, I mean, I think he went on TV at midnight, and almost midnight, and sat around in the private dining room, kind of like, most people were like down in the situation room, but he was like, I'm not going to be down here. I can't watch this entire thing. So he, myself, Pete Souza, the White House photographer, Marvin, we must have played 15 games of spades.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Let me make sure that we're all on the same page here. Let me make sure that we're all clear, that everybody's kosher here. Everybody knows what's going on. So while SEAL Team 6 was risking their lives to go in to find and eliminate the man who was responsible for the murder of 3,000 Americans in one morning, Barack Obama just could not bring himself to go to the Situation Room to watch what was going on as these brave Americans were putting their lives on the line to find Osama bin Laden and hunt him down and kill him because, well, he just couldn't do it. It was just too much for him. What kind of girl is he? How do you call yourself the commander-in-chief when you physically cannot bring yourself to go into the Situation Room and watch the men that you've sent into harm's way do their job? I've said from the beginning that I think Barack Obama has never been interested in being commander-in-chief. I think he, if the truth be told, I think he probably loathes that job. It's just a necessary evil. It just came in the job description. But so there's that. So maybe we will find out that there was another game of spades going on during the Benghazi raid too. Let's see. GOP had their summer meetings this week. They introduced some rising stars in the party. My thought is, let's get some new faces, let's get some new blood, not just these rising new stars. We got Rand Paul, we got Ted Cruz, we got Marco Rubio, maybe. Let's see what he does on immigration. If we're going to run somebody for president in 2016, let's get somebody brand new. Let's get rid of the Romneys, let's get rid of the Santorums, let's get rid of all the faces that we've seen how many times before. There should almost be a rule. Anybody who's run for president before as a Republican is not allowed to do it anymore. We need new blood. We need some new faces on the scene. We need some new faces in the game. Anyway, with that, let's see. My time goes so quickly. Anyway, it's been really good to be back. Sorry I missed you guys last week, but it definitely was a good cause. Or a good cause, trust me. I'm sure we'll be talking in the coming weeks more about Egypt because, like I said, that's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. We'll hear more about what's going on with the GOP's outreach to minorities and women and other groups. So we'll have a lot more to talk about next week. I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. Please look for me on Facebook at facebook.com/BeckyNoble. You can find me at Twitter at PatriotWitch. Please go to examiner.com and watchdogwire.com. All my stuff is there, too. And also, you can go to the place that started it all, conservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Thanks for listening tonight. You have listened to Conservative Cauldron Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Thanks for listening tonight. And I'll see you next week.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.